Fantasy football podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback, defense, tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late round quarterback, and as always, I am joined by my lovely, 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 lovely co-host, Denny Carter. Denny, what's going on, buddy?
A ridiculously nice, gesture. After only calling me lovely once last week, you call me 15 times this week.
Yeah, I
do have a beef with you, if I may, for a minute.
Here we go.
Just because your brand died a terrible sudden death on Monday doesn't mean you have to go and take my brand as the bad take guy.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Because you did that today.
I did do that today. I totally did that today. So I don't know if people saw that one tweet that's going around where it's like, give your non-political, like a take that you have on something that people don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had four of them. One of them, I said that Denny Carter is a great co-host,
which I appreciate. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also said that Star Wars sucked, which look, it's not that good. Okay. It's not that good. But I also said that I liked rom-coms,
right?
As a fourth one. And in the middle there was the one that I've talked about on this show a lot, which is that Perfect Dark's Better Than Gold. It was for the nerds out there. Perfect Dark's Better Than GoldenEye.
Yeah.
But the rom-com one, basically, you know, people would quote tweet it and they would say, you know, number two is disqualified because you said number four, which right. Whatever, guys, rom-coms are good. But then my next tweet to kind of, you know, I know the feeling that you get now whenever you tweet this like just like you're living off of this first, you know, moderately bad take, then you turn it into something even worse by
right.
just going in. And I know the feeling now, and I felt it. I didn't like it at all. I don't think it's going to happen again for my account. One guy actually responded to me and said that he quote tweeted my, I would rather watch the movie He's Just Not That Into You as opposed to watching Star Wars. And mm-hmm. one guy quote tweeted it and said, easiest unfollow I've ever had. And then I went to click his profile and he had blocked me.
Blocked.
I got blocked for that take.
I mean, that guy loves Star Wars more than his mother. I mean,
it's the only, either that or he hates rom-coms.
Right. He either has an irrational hatred for rom-coms or an irrational love for Star Wars. Now, look, I'm not a Star Wars apologist. I've seen all the movies. I'm aware of it. I've been afraid to take that step into, you know, super fandom because you can never compete with like the lifelong Star Wars fan.
Yeah, it's kind of what we talked about last week, where like if you haven't gotten into it now, it's kind of hard to jump into that kind of stuff.
Right, and they're so intense, right? They're just such an intense group of people. It's hard to even, you know, talk about it with them. But I'll say this about Star Wars: good story, bad dialogue, bad characters, shallow characters. Cheesiness across the board, okay?
Yes.
But it has a good story, okay? That's the one thing I think it
right. But you can get that story in any sort of how to lose a guy in 10 days.
It's a hero's journey, hero's tale, whatever they call it, and it follows that script perfectly. But yeah, I mean to pretend like they're perfect movies, I think is overselling it by half. Okay, let's relax with Star Wars.
Let's also say that me coming out and saying something like that, it goes against what is generally acceptable for a male fantasy football analyst, especially, right?
Definitely.
The demographic, I'm speaking to probably 90% males, I would assume, that follow me, 80 to 90.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the realism of the industry and the way and people playing and stuff. We hate that part. But generally males, nerdy guys too, like the demographic, let's say even 60%, but the demographic is someone who loves Star Wars, and I'm going against the grain by saying Star Wars sucks.
Right.
It does. It's not a good combination.
It would be similar to you coming out and saying that you know, your mother living in your mother's basement is not good.
Right,
I think that you know the fantasy community would lash out and say, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be like. You know, to be honest, I needed something like that on Twitter today after what had happened to the brand after the Jeff Fisher firing.
I know.
Like, dude, I was on. I do a Roto Grinder show every Monday, and I was in the middle of that show, and it had just started. Actually, it was like 12 minutes into an hour long show, and the news drops, and I tweeted it out. It was like pure emotion in my tweet, all caps. Like, I don't know, basically saying like, I have no idea what to do right now. I'm like so trapped because I'm doing this show where I have to read all off these notes that I put together and stuff like that. And like, it was one of the most surreal situations I've ever gone through on social media, where people in the industry and other people who just follow a lot of football guys, they actually said they told me that they saw my name, my handle, more than they saw Jeff Fisher's name being dropped when that went down.
Yeah,
which was just like to me, it's hilarious, obviously, but to me, this is the single best branding exercise and branding that I've ever done in my entire life.
And you may never top it. You're going to be around a long time, but this is going to be very difficult to top. Yeah, you are inextricably linked to Jeff Fisher forever.
Right, correct.
And also, by the way, I have to give you major credit for your I don't even know, artistic, glorious tweet storm with all the gifts of
the
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, it's just a nice little montage tribute, if you will.
Just amazing. So I have to ask you, did you plan that?
So what I did was when it went down, right? Right after the show, the Roto Grinder show, I went to my gift folder, and I'm thinking like, okay, I need to tell a story, and I knew of Jeff Fisher. I need to bring it all together, right? And so I went through my gifts, and I was like, okay, let's think through how this story can be told. And really, it was just a combination of telling it through words that I wanted to talk about, slash telling it through just the natural gifts and emotion that come out of that those gifts, right?
Yeah.
So I knew that I wanted to say it started with a miracle, because the Music City Miracle, right? And have the gif of Jeff Fisher celebrating the Music City Miracle. But then there are some things like the he brought back the split in half glasses thing. Like that's just because there's a gif of that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean I right after the show I wanted to do a tribute, so I wrote up like 12 tweets and I associated them with gifts, and then I put it together because I couldn't screw that up. That was a big moment for me, right?
I needed
to come through.
That was a critical moment, and it was like watching, you know what it was like? It was like watching a beautiful blazing sunset, and you know it's at its peak beauty at the very very end, right? And you burned out Jeff Fisher wise perfectly, and I credit you. I was like hyperventilating at Starbucks when you were doing that. Like there was a guy next to me who kept looking over, and I wanted so badly to be like, Jeff Fisher got fired and my friend is killing it with the gifts. Okay. So just stop looking at me, please.
Oh man. I appreciate it. I appreciate
it. Good. But
I wouldn't lie if I didn't say, I mean, I can't lie. My blood pressure had risen when that was all going on. My adrenaline was, was going. I wanted to see what the initial, like, it could have flamed. Like, I could have sent that first tweet, could have sent, you know, once the first tweet went out, people probably didn't understand exactly what was going on. Then the next tweet went out, and then I start seeing people in my mentions saying, like, you got to check out Late Round QB's timeline right now, or, like, you know, he's paying tribute to Jeff Fisher. And then that's when I was like, all right, this is going to be fun. This is going to be good. I can do this. I got this. Mm-hmm. My fear was that, like, my internet was going to shit out or something.
That would have been tragic, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I'll be getting back to the hot takes where you said you weren't sure you liked the feeling of being bombarded.
Yeah.
After going all in. So that's I equate that probably to just putting your hands behind your back and letting someone hit you in the face as hard as they can. And then like and then, but you get you're it's like exhilarating. You're like, oh, do it again, hit me right in the jaw, come on.
Dude, that's exactly what it's like. And I'm toothless right now after that.
You're Rocky at the end of part four.
Yeah, it's not good. I can't handle that. I can't do that. It's not tough. Good for me. Anyway. All right, Denny. Before we get into what happened last week, would you like to talk about our sponsor for this week's show?
Yeah, our sponsor today is playdraft.com. I actually got a lot of Twitter responses last week telling me that LTS listeners are playing at playdraft.com and enjoying it. I had a pretty decent week 14, so I'm looking forward to week 15. But we all know we love drafting, and that's what you get with playdraft.com. It's a simple daily fantasy app where you can do snake drafts, just like the ones you do in August, the ones that we analyzed for so long. And you can do it whenever you want. They last just 1 week, and it can take, 2-3 minutes even to complete a draft. I just did a 6-person draft before the show, and you're able to really go in. I believe on really really nice wide receiver matchups this week. That's my strategy of choice after getting burned with a couple quarterback picks last week that were not optimal. But you can join me and download Draft by searching Draft at the App Store. It should come up first. And be sure to enter the promo code STREAM when you download it, and you'll get 100% bonus up to $600 when you deposit the first time. So again, search Draft in the App Store and use the promo code STREAM.
Boom. All right, Denny, going into a look back of week 14. So the quarterback position was legitimately apocalyptic. If you started... If you started Colin Kaepernick, you actually weren't even that bad off, because mm-hmm. there were a lot of unpredictable performances that were on top of the quarterback list, whether you're looking at Bryce Petty did okay. Like, Bryce Petty was a QB1 this past week. But Colin Kaepernick ended up scoring about 12 fantasy points. And that was like a high-end QB2 performance. So nothing wrong with that. He was better than Breeze and Ben and lots of guys.
I mean, Breeze, Ben, Carr, Mariota, yep. They all just completely tanked. It was an unbelievably bad week for quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't really seen anything like that before, especially during the fantasy playoffs. But the other streamer that we loved last week, that we arguably loved more, was Joe Flacco, yeah. who scored 19.06 points. He ended up being QB4 on the week, so it was a great performance. Clutch performance by him. From a fantasy standpoint on Monday night. And then we did talk about Brock Osweiler as a deep play, and he scored 4 fantasy points because, like we said on last week's show, Brock Osweiler is hashtag not great.
He is not good, no.
At the tight end position, was not very good. Ladarius Green only saw 4.5 PPR points. The snow and game script both definitely hurt him overall. Vance McDonald got hurt, and he's now on IR. Second week in a row where we picked a tight end who got hurt early and didn't do anything.
He's on IR?
So thanks, Obama. And then we had Will Ty had 3.9 points. He was more of a deeper play. And then we tweeted out, if you guys saw, I went on a show. I do my FanVice show with Evan Silva every Thursday. And Silva made some good points about Gresham. We tweeted out about Jermaine Gresham. He had 9.5 PPR points this past week in a sloppy game. That was actually a top 10 tight end performance. So good on Gresham, and good call by Silva. And then at defense, unfortunately, Denny and I were talking about this after the week, and we're like, why did we not talk about Atlanta last
week? Why?
Like, I'm so, like, it's just, that happens to us sometimes, especially, I won't make any excuses. It happens to us sometimes, where we just forget
it
more
does,
obvious
It does,
plays.
But I'm of the belief that Jared Goff is, like, beyond horrible, he's, like, next level terrible. So, I've been, pinpointing matchups against Goff. And I don't know how that. I think I got so pumped up for the Lions defense that I kind of got blinded.
Yeah, because we usually give more than two recommendations too. And so we had the Lions who scored 5. They were okay. They definitely didn't come through like I thought that they would. The Bengals scored 9 against Cleveland. They were a fringe, you know, top 10 defense, which is what happens against Cleveland. So overall, you know, tight ends were rough this past week. Defenses were generally fine. Wish we would have had Atlanta. And then quarterback was actually okay, considering Flacco was a top 5 option and Kaepernick was a high-end QB too. So overall, decent streaming week for a really, really bad fantasy week overall. Just an awful, awful fantasy week. I mean, we all experience it. I legitimately have never seen a playoff week like that in my life.
No, I mean, you're some fantastic lineups. People were tweeting me on Sunday. Some really solid top to bottom lineups were getting decimated by inferior lineups. I'm talking like, you know, 50, 60 point losses by teams who starting, you know, Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and Drew Brees and all that, you know, that look on the surface like really dominant teams.
Yeah, look, my home league 14 team keeper league. You keep 2 guys. My brother, okay, this is anecdotal or whatever, but and stupid, and no one cares. But I'm gonna be a fantasy douche for a second.
Let's do it.
My brother in a 14 team league has Antonio Brown, David Johnson, Mark Ingram, Devontae Freeman. He has Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins too. He just compiled this like monstrous team that scored like 250 more points than any other team this year. He had never scored under 103 points in a single week this season. And that's without a kicker in this league, and it's half PPR. Okay, he posted before Monday night he had 49.5 points. Ugh. but he needed 21 points from Tom Brady and he got it.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I was legitimately happy because he deserved to win that. Like, it's such garbage, you know what I mean? Like, if he were not to win that game.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, like, thank God Brady did. Like, that touchdown of Chris Hogan was what did it for him.
Yeah, man, that's awesome for him because that team scoring 49 points is just
stupid.
I mean, that the simulation is actually messing with your brother.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Denny, talk about our probably top streaming, at least pure streaming defensive option this week.
Yes, as far as pure undiluted streaming goes, I would say that the Miami Dolphins defense is looking pretty decent this week. They're playing against the Jets. The main thing here, and JJ pointed this out when we were talking before the show, is that Bryce Petty is pretty sackable. Okay,
yeah.
And it seems that way because the 49ers, who had never had more than 3 sacks.
Bryce Potato, am I right?
That is his full name, Bryce Potato Petty. What is the potato thing?
What?
I thought is that a joke? Is potato thing a joke? Because Sal said something about potato.
No, I was just going with sack.
Okay, well, we'll skip through that. You can edit that out.
Definitely not being edited out.
You can edit this out too. So the Niners had never recorded more than 3 sacks in a game this year. They got 6 against Bryce Petty. Interestingly enough, the Dolphins have the same exact sack percentage as the 49ers. So they're obviously on equal footing as far as pressuring the passer. So I believe that sacks are in play for the Dolphins. Don't Google that. Only the Rams give up more fantasy points per game to defenses than the Niners. And only one team, something known as the Browns, has failed to score 8 fantasy points against the Jets since week 6. Okay, so we're talking about since mid-October, teams have been posting really solid fantasy floors, defenses have, against the Jets. The Dolphins defense scored 14 fantasy points the last time they played the Jets in week 9. You know, so I really am into the Dolphins. Bryce Petty completed 44% of his passes against Indianapolis. He completed 65% against the Niners, but the yards per attempt was quite low. So I'm not afraid of him at all. I think that he is a good bet to get sacked and maybe turn it over once or twice.
Maybe it's because he changes the depth chart by with his play. like Robbie Anderson becomes the number one wideout and Brandon Marshall is relegated to wide receiver four when Bryce Petty's under center.
Isn't it wild that Robbie Anderson could go out and win fantasy championships for people?
It's not unlike the Brian Hoyer thing with Cam Meredith and Alshon.
Right.
Right. Like I haven't dug into the where he's throwing the ball more often and stuff, but it's a similar situation. I mean, some guys just truly do. I mean, like, you know, we're more analytical with all this kind of stuff, but like some quarterbacks do truly just hone in on certain receivers if they have vibes with them.
You know what I remember? Curtis Painter, the quarterback for the Colts the year that Peyton was out the whole year, he keyed in on Garcon hard. Yeah. And that you just couldn't ignore it. You couldn't ignore the fact that Garcon was seeing 8, 10, 12 targets every single week. And I feel like that's a similar thing where you just have this really awful quarterback who's just hammering a guy with targets. It's not bad.
Yeah. Two other defenses to mention. They're owned in about half of leagues right now. The Bills are still out there in about half because they just came off a game against Pittsburgh where they did do well. But the game before that against Oakland, they were horrible. And so a lot of owners dropped them. We've been talking about that on the show quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. But this week, Buffalo is going to host Cleveland. The Browns have allowed a top 13 defensive performance in all but two games this year, including 7 top 10 performances. So, in other words, Cleveland's letting an opposing defense rank in the top 10 more often than not. So the Bills are a good play. That's all you need to know. It's really not that difficult. And then the Falcons, I'm going to make it quick. The Falcons, coming off a big week, we've seen them have a ceiling this year as a result of that. Remember earlier in the season when we streamed the Falcons against the Panthers? Mm-hmm. They had a pretty nice performance. They're 13.5-point favorites. They have a 32.25 implied team total.
I know,
week.
Man.
I haven't seen anything like that.
No, me neither.
And so if you look at what I dug into was to see how San Francisco has performed in terms of giving up sacks with Colin Kaepernick under center versus when Blaine Gabbert was there. So weeks 1 through 5 before Cap took the job, the 49ers allowed 0 sacks twice, 1 sack once, 2 sacks once, and then one of the games they got crushed by Arizona and they were sacked 7 times. But with Kaepernick, so that's weeks 6 through 14, you know, I know Gabbert played a quarter as well. They've given up at least 1 sack in every game, and they're averaging 3.25 sacks per game. So that 3.25 number under Gabbert, they only hit once, mm-hmm. whereas that's happening on average with Kaepernick under center, which makes sense because that's what happens with a scrambling quarterback pretty often. So the game script in this one's beautiful. The Falcons are at home. I think they're a very, very good option.
I like them.
So, speaking of the Falcons, Denny, they have the quarterback they're facing, Colin Kaepernick. He seems like a pretty fun play this week.
He is fun. He is fun despite having, you know, the apocalyptic outing against Chicago. And then last week, not exactly lighting the world on fire, but like you said, in a week with disasters at quarterback all over the place, it wasn't so bad. Here's the thing with Kaepernick's success this year. The vast majority of it has come when he's faced just horrendous game script. And so now we have the Falcons at home as 14-point favorites against the Niners. You can ignore the Niners total for a minute if you...
Yeah, because it's like 6.
Right. So the Falcons are 14-point favorites. So Kaepernick had only 30 dropbacks last week with what was mostly a positive game script, you know, and I think that the goal, you know, if the Niners get a lead ever, Kaepernick's probably not going to put up great numbers. I think that that became clear with the way that they were operating their offense. But that's compared to 54 dropbacks he had against the Dolphins in week 12 when he went, you know, nuclear. And he had 40 dropbacks against the Cardinals when he scored 24 points in Arizona. And that was, you know, he was facing pretty negative game script throughout that one. He also scored 19 points when New England got out to a big lead against the Niners. So, you know, he has a lot of opportunities to run and pass. And despite not putting up great air numbers, except for against the Dolphins, you know, that rushing really comes into play when they're facing bad script. I think that they're almost definitely going to face really horrible game script here. So I'm into them. Atlanta opponents average 40.6 passes per game, which is the second most in the league. I think Kaepernick is a guy, you know, I sound like Chris Collinsworth. Here's a guy who's gonna, so Kaepernick is gonna drop back 40 times in this one, no doubt about it. I like him.
Yeah. The other thing too, you know, to your point, I think it was like 22 yards more per game in losses than in wins for Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And the different, you know, most quarterbacks almost all score more in wins than in losses, but the difference is that historically Kaepernick has been a much better passer than what he is now.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a different way of looking at things. He's also in an offense that is easier to run in as a quarterback. So I agree. I think that his rushing upside is tremendous in this game. As long as they don't pull him, right? As long as something like that doesn't happen, then he should be fine.
And very simply put, I know I just went through a bunch of numbers. Very simply put, no team gives up more fantasy production to quarterbacks than the Falcons, and only three quarterbacks have failed to crack 250 passing yards against the Falcons this year.
So. Yeah, there we go. Denny, I think that the guy that I'm going to talk about is probably the safest streamer this week,
yep.
I would say. That's Alex Smith. The Chiefs are at home. They're 5.5-point favorites. They're playing the Titans, okay? The Titans, according to NumberFire metrics, have the second worst secondary in football behind Cleveland, or ahead of Cleveland, I guess I should say. So they've been awful, and they've been especially awful against the pass during the second half of the season. So let me just throw out this number. You ready? Over their last 8 games, okay, quarterbacks are averaging 22.77 fantasy points per game against Tennessee. 22.77. That's like QB1 numbers. That's like, it's absurd. Every single passer against them has scored at least 17.36 points, which came this past week to Trevor Siemian. Oh, and by the way, listen to these quarterbacks that they face: Trevor Siemian, Matt Barkley, Blake Bortles, Cody Kessler. That's 4 of the 8 quarterbacks right there. Cody Kessler, Blake Bortles, Trevor Siemian, Matt Barkley. And they're still giving up 22.77 fantasy points per game over the last 8 weeks. I tweeted about the wide receivers, about how bad they've been against wide receivers last week. And everyone's like, oh, but Parrish Cox was playing. And then he got benched. And it's like, guys, he's playing because he's better than what they had,
mm-hmm.
right? And even if he's not better than what they had, at least it's comparable because he was still playing.
Right.
They're trotting out Antoine Blake. If people don't remember Antoine Blake, he was the guy that everyone targeted against the Steelers last year.
Mm.
Like, he's phenomenally terrible. he's awful.
Yeah.
So the matchup is really perfect for Alex Smith in this game. The only fear is the fear that I always have with Alex Smith is that he's a home favorite,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Where it could just turn into a Spencer Ware game. Luckily, you know, Spencer Ware has not been running the ball that well. That offensive line has not been getting much push. So I think that does help Alex Smith a little bit, that they might go to the pass more. I think that Smith has a really nice floor and really a decent ceiling in this game as well.
Yeah, well, the Titans have a decent run defense, a horrible secondary, and the Chiefs, I think, what was it? Spencer Ware hasn't gone over 70 rushing yards since week 7?
Yeah, he's averaging over his last 5 games, even despite having the 9th best market share over the last 5 games. He's averaging like 56 yards on the ground per game.
Right. I mean, he's getting a lot of touches, doing nothing. So
yeah.
if the Chiefs are going to score, you know, are going to move the ball, it'll be through the air. Do you know their total? I was looking that up.
It's not that high. Well, I mean, theirs is like 24. Or
24.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, but because the game itself is only at 43 because they're 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
So, all right, Denny, last guy. Let's hear it.
Flacco, our hero from week 14. Can I tell you how relieved I was when he threw that second touchdown against?
Me too, man.
But he ended up with 3, didn't he?
No, he had the 2. He just had the 2. He had a lot of yards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had over 300. That's right. That's right. So. Yeah, that second touchdown was clutch. So I talked a little bit. Actually, last week I talked Flacco, I believe, and I talked about how he was guaranteed to have to throw a lot against the Patriots. I think we have a similar situation here against the Eagles. Flacco has 99 pass attempts over this past 2 weeks. So no one has more dropbacks on the season than Flacco. I'm sure that's just how the Ravens drew it up too.
Yeah, exactly. How are they how is their record this good? It doesn't make any sense.
What are they? What is their record?
They'd be 8-5? No, they're 7-6.
Well, they're not good, but it is amazing they have that many wins. Quarterbacks versus the Eagles over the past 7 weeks. This is also my locker code from 11th grade. 28. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Guys, you can get into his locker. You can get into his locker.
Don't take my lunch, jerks. Quarterback points versus the Eagles.
Also Denny's locker code.
Also my color. 28, 24, 14, 24, 23, 22, 17.
Oh my God, it opened. It opened.
Oh my God, it's a porn mag. No, I would never have had that in my high school. I would have been expelled. Quarterbacks have notched multiple touchdowns in 7 of the past 9 games versus the Eagles. The Eagles allow 101 rushing yards per game, which is 15th in the league. But opponents average only 24 rushing attempts per game against the Eagles, which is the 11th fewest. All in all, I believe it sets up for another game where Flacco is going to drop back a lot and will have a chance to pick apart a Philadelphia defense that has really given up major production. Even, you know, Kirk Cousins had a, you know, pretty so-so kind of mad game, and he like fell out of bed and scored 17 points against right. The Eagles. So I like Flacco. I like Flacco more than Alex this week.
Do you?
I think I do.
Wow, nice. Well, how about this? Over under 80 pass attempts combined in that game.
Oh, I'll go under because I just don't see the Eagles.
They've been throwing it a lot, though, recently.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz is like he had one, like, 50-some attempt game.
Oh, right, against the Seahawks
or something? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're throwing them. They're throwing it a lot. I could see it go. If it goes over,
mm-hmm.
The one thing with all that passing is that there's just more plays run because the clock stops. So
yes.
So there's a lot of upside there. I think that there's a legitimate chance. Let me see what this over under is in this game.
It's not good.
No, I think that could go over. I wouldn't be surprised if that went over. It's in Baltimore though. I wish it was.
It's in Baltimore. It's 41 points.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think there's going to be a lot of passing in that game. All right, Denny. Real quick, I'm going to talk about tight ends, and I'm going to go to Jermaine Gresham. This is kind of crazy. Over the last 4 weeks, here are his rankings. This is not my locker combination. 10th, because there's THs in it. 10th, 7th, 14th, and 11th PPR tight end rankings for Jermaine Gresham over the last 4 weeks. Over his last 3 games, he's seen 10, 6, and 7 targets. He's usually played decent snaps throughout the season. That's never really the concern, but the Cardinals don't really have pass-catching options right now with John Brown's sickle cell thing. Michael Floyd is driving drunk. It's not a good situation. And then the other thing on top of that is that Carson Palmer can't throw it deep, right? Like Carson Palmer, the offensive line is in shambles right now. If you saw them against Miami, they got destroyed throughout that game.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer doesn't have any time, which is good for the tight end in the offense, which is Jermaine Gresham. So the Saints are definitely beatable at tight end. We've seen that throughout the season. They're allowing the 15th most points to the position, but there have been decent performances against the Saints. There's a high over-under in the game, and I think that Jermaine Gresham is a really good way to get a piece of that.
I'm all on board he is the dad runner express.
Mm-hmm.
That dude.
Okay. I think I could beat Jermaine Gresham in a 40.
You're just being ridiculous. But he comes from, you know, he comes from the Antonio Gates, I'm running on glass school.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, like it just looks painful to watch them run.
Right, right. I agree. All right, Denny, last streamer. Let's hear it.
Jack Doyle. Jack Doyle is, first of all, he's tight end 11 on the year, which I wasn't aware of that until just today.
That's absurd.
I mean, right? I mean, look, tight end 11 is not even usable week to week anymore.
No,
but
like tight end 6 isn't even usable week to week.
You're not wrong.
Tight end does not matter.
I you know, forget about doing away with kickers and defenses. Let's do away with tight end.
Like, there's just, they just don't matter.
And running back, for that matter. Jack Doyle has 11 targets over the past two games. But most importantly, he's running more routes per game over the past month than Dwayne Allen. Jack Doyle is averaging 20.7 routes per game, and Dwayne Allen is averaging 19.5 routes per game. It's not a huge difference, but it's good to know. I mean, I was afraid of recommending Doyle at first because I was thinking he's not running many routes, and, you know, so the opportunity might not be there. But route running is really important for tight ends, and he is topping Dwayne Allen, who is a much better blocker and who is staying in to block more and more as the season goes on. Tight ends are averaging a very nice 6.9 targets per game against the...
you've been waiting for that all podcast.
Dude, I've been waiting to do that since like 12:32 p.m. Eastern time, the only legitimate time zone. And the Vikings have allowed 2 tight end touchdowns all season. Only the Cardinals have allowed fewer. I say that because if you look at just, you know, raw fantasy points against... The Vikings are way, way down on the list, and it's a little frightening. Okay, I get it. I've been there. I've done that. I've looked at that, and I said, "Wow, I don't really want to stream a guy against a team that is not allowing many points." But basically, 7 targets a game, and you know, they're just not letting tight ends score. But that's okay with me if Jack Doyle can catch, you know, 4 or 5 balls in this one. So. Also, Vikings have shut down wide receivers, mm-hmm. And Dante Moncrief will maybe miss this game. It remains to be seen. But we were looking, JJ and I were looking at Jack Doyle's splits before the game, and with and without Moncrief in the Colts lineup. In 8 games with Moncrief, Doyle is averaging 8.3 fantasy points per game. In 5 games without Moncrief, he's averaging 11 fantasy points per game. His targets go up, his receptions go up, and his yardage goes up. So if Moncrief is out, I'm going to be especially bullish on Doyle for against the Vikings.
Word. All right, to recap, we have Jack Doyle and Jermaine Gresham, Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith, and Joe Flacco. And on defense, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Falcons. All right, Denny, Twitter has lots of questions for us. The first one, at Sausage Debach, he says, Ty Goat or Wilson?
Hey, was that supposed to be Sausage Debacle?
I don't know, but it's Debach. Like B-A-U-C-H.
I don't know.
Ty Goat or Wilson? I think I might go Wilson.
Me too.
At home, I like him a little bit more. Next one, at BZLloyd3, as a Jordan Reed owner, do I start someone like Ladarius given usage concerns?
I think we have to see. I'm in that position in one league. I mean, don't you really have to wait till like Friday, Saturday to like feel how he might be used? I know he only ran 10 routes, right?
Yeah, probably. I mentioned this to you, by the way, too. This is the GOAT move that I made all year long, was starting Tevin Coleman over Jordan Reed this past week.
That is... I mean, I wouldn't do that in 100 years, and I credit you for doing it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love Jordan Reed this week. I think that he's in a great spot. As long as you hear decent things from him, I think that it's fine. Because the bottom line is Ladarius Green still has usage concerns too.
Right.
Ladarius Green played 2 snaps in the second half of the Bills game this past week.
Well, but the Steelers were not interested at all,
right, in passing
the ball.
Right. Which is why Ladarius, like, dude, there were some people that were just trolling the crap out of me about Ladarius. And it didn't make any sense because, like, it's a very, you know, like when we go through analyzing these players and stuff, you can't just look. I mean, we say this all the time in the show, and obviously anyone who listens to the show regularly knows this. You can't just look at how many fantasy points or what the end stat line is. Ladarius Green this past week had 2 catches for 25 yards, right? He played only 37% of the team's snaps. And everyone's like, oh, Ladarius Green sucks. Well, the problem is he only played 2 snaps in the second half because there was such a positive script for Pittsburgh that they didn't need to throw the ball. They're going to use Ladarius Green in any sort of neutral to negative game script. a lot. And when they use him, when he's on the field, he has a better usage than any other tight end in football. He has a better target rate than any other tight end in football. Those peripheral things are so important in finding guys who are about to break out or do break out. It's not even funny. So when we say, you know, hold on to Ladarius Green, it's because we're looking at those things that are going on around his stat line. His stat line isn't telling us everything. So it might not happen this year. Ladarius Green, you know, we only have two weeks left of relevancy. I would expect that the Steelers make a run in the playoffs, for instance, that eventually Ladarius Green is going to have a big game. But regardless, it might not happen this year just because of sample size, but the process is definitely right in looking at all those kind of peripheral situations that are going on.
I mean, if Roethlisberger had thrown for 300 yards and a couple touchdowns, and, you know, Green, Ladarigoat, what do you call him?
Ladarigoat.
Ladarigoat was out there for 75-80% of the snaps, and he only caught two balls for 25 yards, then I think that would be an issue. But none of that happened.
He had a 19.5% market share at the tight end position. Why is that bad? Like, why? That's not bad. That's great. He had six targets. Anyway. Next one is at Leo Kaliski. He says, Carr or Alex Smith?
I would go Carr.
I think I'd go Carr too. San Diego's secondary worries me a bit because it's a lot better than what people, like, I think that once Verrett went down, everyone's just like, oh, this secondary is going to be so easy to crush. But Hayward's been stepping up. He's been sick nasty this year. You know, Carr has the finger issue, which is also a little bit scary. Michael Crabtree now has a finger issue. The whole team is playing with nine fingers. But I do like Carr more, but I do think that there are some reasons to hesitate.
Yeah, the one of the reasons I said Carr is because Oakland's total is 26.25, which is a road total. That's a lot.
That's a lot. I would play Carr. And then he also said Rivers or Streamer. So Rivers plays Oakland. So Rivers or Alex, or Rivers or Flacco, or Rivers or Cap.
I actually would go. I personally would be more comfortable with Flacco over Rivers.
I think I would go Rivers. So sorry, Leo. Next one at bedtime 37. I said some things to a girl I like. Now she doesn't want to talk to me. I sent her a letter and no response. What do I do now?
You could either go to Arby's by yourself, or you could invite said girl to Arby's and have a nice little date and eat the animal flesh together.
Yeah, that's right. Have a nice little ironic dinner. next one is at Beaver BKR. He says, Stafford or the stream this week, or just go Cap or Goat and eat Arby's? I don't like Stafford that much this week.
No, I am out on Stafford this week. I don't want any part of that Giants defense. He has the hand thing.
On the road.
He was one rushing touchdown away from being a complete debacle.
Yeah.
Against the Bears.
Yeah, I don't like Stafford this week at all. So I would actually go with any of the streamers over him. Next one is at AA Cantu. Who's the most vicious? Jags Twitter, Eric Church Twitter, Wrinkle Twitter, or Stick to Football Twitter?
Oh, well, I think Stick to Football Twitter is...
Stick to Football Twitter is the... But you... I haven't experienced Stick to Football Twitter very often. Because my outside the scope of what we do brand still had to do with football with Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, yeah. So did you tell yourself to stick to football today?
Yeah, I did.
That was funny. I couldn't remember if you did that today or what.
Yeah,
but...
and then I used the... I directed it to me.
Yeah, right. Stick to football me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. It made me LOL IRL. Stick to Football Twitter is so adamant about staying in your lane and saying what you're supposed to say and never venturing outside of those lines. It's truly remarkable. They are such a disciplined crew of people, you know, that you, I don't want to hear any opinions about anything except for who do I play this week, Alex Smith or, you know, Philip Rivers.
What's so interesting to me is that it's not like Twitter and what we do on Twitter is our job, right? Like Twitter is a driving force, for instance, for me to get people to read my content and to, but really it, I use Twitter so that people can see me as a human, as a person, right? Like,
right.
It's because I want people to not just read my probably boring article on NumberFire about why Dak Prescott is the GOAT. You know, like I don't need to, people might get sick of that or get bored of that. I need to show that I'm a person behind it all, right?
Yes. We are people. So treat us like one.
So but like if you're at work, right? Imagine being at work and you not being able to talk about anything outside of what your job is.
Yeah.
Because that's what Stick to Football Twitter says.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's see. You sell car insurance. Okay. And someone, you know, and you, I don't know, you want to talk about not even politics. I'm trying to think of something besides you want to talk about, you know, the game, you know, last night's game.
Right.
You say something and the person's like, whoa, Charlie, let's just stick to selling insurance in this office.
Right. It's the most,
that doesn't happen.
Thing. Yeah. It's the most, social media is not, it's meant to say things that you feel, right? Like it's social media. You're having conversations. It's crazy.
Speaking of social media, I did my first Periscope the other night.
Oh, did you? I missed that.
I did. And I didn't know what to do. So I kind of like stared at the camera for a while. And then people started, it was Sunday night. So people were in all caps saying tilt. and I realized at first I was like, oh, that's funny. And I was like, oh wait, you're yelling at me. You're commanding me to tilt. And I said, I'm not your tilt monkey. And someone said, tilt monkey, tilt.
You ever see, do you remember like way back in the day, Burger King did that like subservient chicken thing?
Oh yeah.
Imagine if you did that via Periscope, people just told you what to do and you just did it.
Yeah. I mean, they were really, really quite into me tilting. I was not tilting. I explained why, in the video, but, and then someone said you should do Periscope on Sundays. I don't know if you guys want to see that honestly, but I can give it a try.
Yeah. Probably not. Just kidding. I would love to do it. I'd watch it. Next one at the_true. All right, this is when we gotta talk about it because it came up like 45 times. Start Brady, Wilson, or live the stream. Okay, Denny, where are you at with Tom Brady this week? I still haven't figured it out. Let's just you like Flacco more. I like Alex Smith more. So let's just pretend that it's our top streamer versus Tom Brady. Who are you playing this week?
I mean, the Broncos can be run on,
right?
And that's my worry. My worry is not that Tom Brady is not good. It's that, you know, how the Patriots, you know, have these extraordinarily different game plans for different games and different matchups and strengths of the defense. So the Ravens are really solid against the run. They weren't all that into even trying to run last night or against the Ravens. So they ripped him apart via the pass. And I think that if they, you know, if they know that they can get at the Broncos on the ground, they're going to do that. I think that suppresses Brady's floor and ceiling. I'm torn, man.
I'm actually, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm going to say Brady, and it's not a hedge. It's not like I do think it's the more logical play, but it's not going to surprise me one bit if all three streamers outscore Brady in fantasy. It's not going to surprise me one bit.
It's in Denver.
Brady doesn't have Gronk.
Right. I mean, haven't we seen this before?
Yeah. I mean, like, he hasn't been horrific necessarily. I don't know. Well, I'm going to say stick to Brady.
I guess I would.
But I would play Russell Wilson over Brady this week.
I would too.
Okay. Next one at TakeMaker. What is CD Carter 13's take on live recorded versus studio recorded music?
I saw that question. Thank you for that question. I'm going to give you a totally cold, freezing cold take. You ready for this? It depends.
Oh God, Denny.
It depends. I'm sorry. I can't because some bands are really bad live, and you know this, and everybody out there knows this.
You mean like Eric Church?
Whoa.
Sorry.
I don't want to offend Eric Church Twitter. All.
But, hey, by the way, we didn't even mention last week's pod. The intro had to do with Eric Church.
How did we not do that?
We're bad. Why do you guys listen to this podcast?
We are terrible at this. How did we not say
like, we're just like laughing at it. We're like, yeah, this is so good. Listen to their band. Oh, yeah. By the way, it has to do with Eric Church.
And the
insanity that went down on my Twitter timeline when I said that he was the Jeff Fisher of country singers.
Right, right. And you got ripped, man. Ripped. Oof.
Bad words.
So, like Neil Young Live is, I think we can all agree, amazing. I prefer his live stuff over his studio stuff. You know, I would say Metallica, on the other hand, it has to be studio. I'm not saying that they're terrible in live recordings, but their S&M album, and yes, that is the name of the album, okay? Their S&M album is, I doesn't measure up to the studio stuff. So it depends, but mostly if I have to choose forever and ever, I'm actually choosing studio. Yeah. If I have to choose between the two.
I would too, but this is the most music takes that you've ever had on the show combined, I think.
Oh, I could talk for 15 minutes on this.
Yeah. Next one, @Joshua_Foster. Did the Rams hate Jeff Fisher that much they waited until he broke the league's losing record to fire him? Actually,
right.
The most Jeff Fisher thing ever is that he tied the losing record. So he doesn't own it. He tied it.
Yeah, that's poetry.
It's poetry. It is. Really is. Next one, @FantasyWiener. But it's IE. Cap or Cam? 6 point per touchdown pass.
Who's Cam?
Yeah, seriously. Would you play Cam over Cap? Cam on the road against Washington.
I would play Cap.
I think I would too. Next one, @DrillGuitar. When you have a week as cataclysmically bad for highly owned quarterbacks as week 14, is it good, bad, or neutral for the brand?
It's great.
It's the best for the brand. This is the best thing that could have happened for the brand.
The worst thing for the brand, and we were talking a little bit for the show, is when a quarterback or two quarterbacks go absolutely bonkers on the season, right? They're blowing the roof off every week, like Cam Newton was last year, right. or Peyton Manning 2 or 3 years ago. That's bad for the brand, because then it's like,
depending on when they got drafted, to be fair,
right? Well, no, even.
That's
true,
because it takes a hit on streaming in some way.
Exactly. So we get that feedback of they were a difference maker. They averaged 6 points more per game than the next guy in the set. So that's worse for when quarterbacks tank, it's good.
Yes. Next one, @TheDylanRyan, Kenneth Farrow or A Rob's corpse.
I'm picturing Weekend at Bernie's, like
A Rob. Hey, I'm just chilling there with a hat on.
and a pina colada on the lined up in the slot.
A-Rob is playing Houston, who he torched earlier this year. But I think that I would still go with the floor with Kenneth Farrow.
I guess Farrow. I can't believe. I mean, A-Rob is like 4,400 on DraftKings this week.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. I mean, I think he's a decent tournament play.
I tried that last week.
Yeah. This is what we've said for the last 8 weeks. Next one, @Power5758. Can I trust Drew Brees this week? There's another guy in a bad spot. He's in Arizona. He has Flacco, Mariota, and Alex Smith available on waiver wire. Breeze over the streamers.
Mariota plays
Kansas City. I don't think you can confidently play him. Breeze against Arizona. For what it's worth, NumberFire's algorithm really likes Breeze, I think, this week. But they really, I mean, it's. I think there's a little Breeze love from that algorithm.
It's programmed in, like the simulation.
Yeah.
Have you updated the, I want to say simulation, the algorithm with the fact that Breeze may have hit his Peyton wall.
Yeah, Drew Breeze is no longer good at football.
Right.
No, it's definitely not factored in. I'm a little afraid of Breeze, and I think it's natural to be. He has zero touchdowns and six interceptions in his last two games.
Oh, my God.
Like, how can you not be somewhat afraid of that, right?
I
like, if Colin Kaepernick did that, people would be just going nuts at us talking about Colin Kaepernick on the show. Drew Brees does it 2 weeks in a row, and it's like, yeah, I'll still play Drew Brees because he's Drew Brees.
I know. You're just going strictly on name value at
you
this
are.
Point.
I think that you can go with a streamer.
I cannot. I'm going with Flacco. I'm going with Cap. I'm going with Alex.
Woo. There we go. Next one. @Eddie_straight. On a scale of 1 to 99, how much do you guys secretly miss J.J. Watt jokes this season?
Eh. I was kind of burned out on J.J. Watt
jokes. I'm going to say like a 34.
Out of 100?
It's 1,
yeah,
to, 1 to 99.
I'm around
33
yeah.
then instead of 34.
I'm around like 25 ish.
Yeah. Next one @OnlyRealPharaoh. He says, I thank you guys for managing my tilt every week. Question: Montgomery or Alshon Jeffrey this week?
So Alshon's really back playing.
Yeah,
this week?
I think Alshon's interesting. Montgomery is going to still have questionable usage, I think, overall. I don't mind Montgomery, but I think that Alshon's a smarter play there.
Isn't it wild that Mike McCarthy came out and said, basically, sorry, guys, by the way, Ty Montgomery has not been in a wide receiver meeting in many, many months. Yeah. He is a running back.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the fantasy industry is having a debate every 3 hours about whether Ty Montgomery's a running back or not. Mike McCarthy had the answer for a month and a half.
Right, but what's the argument? What's the argument against having him eligible for running back?
Just that there's other... I think that the argument's bad. I mean, look, there's sites that don't have him as a running back. I think NFL.com doesn't have him as a running back, but ESPN was the first mover. They moved him first, and then Yahoo came in and they made him a running back. The argument is that other players, you know, a running back might line up as a wide receiver a lot, like a Theo Riddick maybe, or a David Johnson even. So why aren't they wide receivers? Well, I mean, I kind of understand the argument, but Ty Montgomery is lining up as a running back in like a much larger proportion. From a
primarily.
Strictly proportion standpoint, it's a lot closer than what you see from other players.
Primarily. I just see it. I see that, you know, I've seen the argument that you don't change the rules, quote unquote, midway through the season. But you're not changing the rules of fantasy football.
Right.
You're just changing eligibility. It's part of the game. It's part of what makes the game a game and fun and flexible and, you know, kind of a, you know, you're just like moving, you know, moving pieces around. It's just a like a critical part of why we play. The people who say that
have never played fantasy baseball in their life, because fantasy baseball, it's constant.
Yes.
Players are changing positions all the time. Eligibility debates in baseball, there's actual like the amount of days that players are playing a certain position is when eligibility changes. Like there's actual rules around it. The reason that football, I mean, once again, football's behind, right? Like it's just you have more complicated offensive systems. This kind of stuff is going to occur. But there weren't any rules in place. I don't see any problem in making Ty Montgomery a running back from the start. It just didn't. It doesn't matter, right? Like, not only that, but it's not like he's been that good.
Exactly. It's not like ripping it up. He's getting 3 yards a carry or whatever.
Next one. I thought this. I don't know why. I laughed really hard when I saw this tweet. It's from @Edward_10009. I was eliminated this week. How can I change that?
Here's what you do. You build a time machine. You take in an Arby's sandwich into the machine and you switch it. And like the movie The Fly, you will become the sandwich.
Yeah, you actually, the secret chemical that's needed for this time machine to work is Arby's sauce.
Horsey sauce.
Yeah, horsey sauce, right.
Yeah, so that's my only advice to you.
Right. Next one, @KnucklePop. He says, recency bias is a thing, but can you remember a fantasy football playoff start this bad ever? I slipped on my own vomit at church. No, we talked about that earlier. I think that this is the craziest start that I've ever seen. Also, the image of you slipping on your vomit at church is making Denny piss his pants right now. I'm pretty sure he's about to vomit from laughter.
I mean, that is just, that's fantastic. Good one, Ross.
Next one is @NHoffenberg. Ladarius Green or Greg Olson?
Was that a question?
Yeah, that's the first one.
Greg Olson? Are you Anchorman?
I don't know. I don't know what I would do here. I kind of love Ladarius's matchup this week.
Yeah, me too.
And Greg Olson's not been that good.
How is that, by the way? Like,
yeah,
how
like is who, that? Who is Cam throwing to? Because the answer is no one, Denny.
The answer is actually no one.
Cam Newton is bad this year, and no one wants to talk about it.
I do. I personally do. Yeah. I very much do.
Yeah. I think I'd go Ladarius. And then he also asks if you should start Tyrod against Cleveland or the streamers.
You know what? I would go Olsen. I'm sorry. Okay. Washington is...
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right. Olsen's in a good spot. But then Tyrod or the streamers. I like Alex more than Tyrod this week.
I like Flacco more than Tyrod.
Boom. I think it's the reason is because I think LeSean McCoy is going to just go ham.
Yeah, I mean, it's another thing where you're scared of a situation where the Bills get up by 14, 17 points. At that point, you know, it's game over for Tyrod's air production.
Right.
You know?
And then he also says rom-coms or Star Wars. Definitely rom-coms.
In a PPR or half PPR?
Next one, at PJ Lopez 44. I step on my son's Legos and want to curse like a sailor, but can't. What are Witten's go-to curse substitutions for dads?
Oh, yeah.
Good grief.
Good grief. I say good grief a lot.
Yeah, of course you do.
God bless America.
God bless.
Yeah, he steps on, he's like, God bless America.
God bless.
I mean, so he's actually like, he's saluting the troops while suppressing... while suppressing a curse word. I mean, that is...
Killing two birds with one stone.
That's an all-American move there. That's good.
Man. Next one, at Justin Freeman 18. Are we at peak fantasy football right now? Feels like we'll be on VH1 in a few decades, likening fantasy football to Troll Dolls and the Pet Rock.
No.
No, I think fantasy's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I... You don't, you know, I know you're like entrenched in the industry, so you don't have to comment on this, but I believe that in, you know, 5 years or 7 years, maybe, the only reason people will be watching it will be fantasy. I think that the league will finally come around to realize how important it is for people, you know, for fantasy is to people. And there will still be fans, but people will be watching these garbage primetime games week after week because they have guys playing that night. And you know it, and I know it, that's why people are watching now, and it's only going to accelerate from here, I believe.
Yeah. Next one, at Kyle_Borg. Denneth, give new dad like me a few fire takes related to dad life, or at least expose Big Baby for what it is, because they got me good.
Big Baby will get you. I'll tell you. I mean, Big Baby will, wake you up in the middle of the night and keep you up for days at a time, like Guantanamo Bay. But the my advice would be, when you smell poop, okay, and you definitely can smell it, don't skimp out on the wet wipes. You know, like don't act like you can just clean it all up with one, all right? Because your hand's going to be disgusting, I'll be honest, okay? If we can just be upfront with each other. I use 4 or 5 wet wipes when my daughter poops all over the place, and that would be my advice for cleaning up the poop.
Yeah, that's good. It's very good. Next one, at Topher Street, he says, why is your take on Star Wars so terrible? It's not terrible.
I mean, we talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah.
This next one's from at Reezy Club. Ricky says he has 4 questions, but they're very quick. Ty God Cap or the streamer? We just talked about the streamer, right? Any of the streamers. Is Love Actually a Christmas movie?
There's an argument that it's not.
Look, the bottom line is with Christmas movies, Christmas movie or not, Christmas has to be a central part of the movie. It's not that it has to just exist in the movie.
Is it not a central part, though?
It's somewhat of one. I haven't seen Love Actually in a while, though. So I'm not.
I watch it. Yeah, I watch it every year.
Yeah. So maybe we'll say yes.
I don't understand how it's not. And I trust me, I want to crap on that movie, and I have trouble doing it.
No, it is because there's actual like gifts, like right, like it's.
It's, yeah, I mean, things are happening.
It has to be part of it. Has to be
the Tony Blair character and right. the his love interest get caught making out at a Christmas play, at a kid's manger scene play, nativity scene.
Right. Yeah. So we can say yes. How will JJ rebrand now that Jeff Fisher is dead? The rebranding will begin, or the brainstorm will begin after the season's over. And then the last one, is a Harambe sweater appropriate for a work holiday party?
I would not do that if I were you, because if you have, you know, like an animal rights person, you know, who's really passionate about these things, I'm not saying anything about that type of person, but that's deeply offensive. And I would not want to be the person who has to explain why I'm wearing a dead gorilla on my Christmas sweater.
True. You're that's a very woke take.
No, I mean,
like that was the most pure take that you've ever had on this podcast.
It must be insane. By the way, you're super ridiculously life altering, woke take about why do ties exist? Okay. So my friend Marielle, who's on Twitter, and you might see her once in a while, tweet at me that she hates me and I'm terrible.
She does the drawings and stuff.
Yeah, she does that. She did the illustrations for the Rise and Grind book, and they're very good. So she actually wrote a paper one time. I believe she said it was a dissertation on why ties exist.
Wow.
And so I have one friend who's woke AF over here questioning the existence of ties, and another friend who's on the other side of the woke spectrum but also equally woke about, like, you know, about why ties are a thing and have been for a long time. It blew my mind. I had to, like, sit in a dark room for an hour.
Wow, that's insane. That's crazy. Next one is from our buddy Al Zeidenfeld. He said, will Jeff Fisher be offered a job as part-time co-host or just handed Denny's job outright? It's a good question. If I had contact with Jeff Fisher, I mean, really, you've seen like Sacha Baron Cohen's characters and stuff when he does like interviews and stuff, you know, I feel like I could, it'd be so easy to do a sarcastic interview with Jeff Fisher, like of all people, like that is a million plus YouTube video page, you know, view video. That would just be so easy, right? Just to make these sarcastic comments probably that he might not even realize or understand what they mean underlying. But
yeah, you could totally Daily Show him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you just completely crush him. It would be amazing. But no, Denny's not going anywhere, guys. I love Denny.
Yeah, come on, Al. Jeez.
Next one, at Play-Doh Putty. Can we stop calling CD Carter 13 food takes? If you don't like anything but whipped cream, it's a lifestyle choice.
That's so funny because it's like, I mean, because the end of it, like the lifestyle choice, you know, like it rings of like anti-gay sentiment, you know, like yeah, you know, that's a lifestyle choice, that's not natural, you know, and so to say, you know, that my food take, I mean, that is a good take. I like other stuff though. I was eating, stuffing my face with wonderful, delicious Greek style pasta before the show, and JJ can attest.
I can. I saw him. I was like flabbergasted because I never even knew that Denny ate anything outside. Like even when we were in Vegas with you, me, and Reebs, we're sitting there. Mm-hmm. We get the freaking buffet, and Denny's like, "Nah, waving the bacon." How do you not wave bacon?
I now wave disgusting, dripping.
It was good bacon.
Wet bacon.
It was good bacon, guys. Next one, at D Hosmer, name the cast of the LTS remake of A Christmas Carol. Obviously, Den Den equals Scrooge. Tom Everett Scott is the narrator, but then he says, "Is Foles the ghost of Christmas past?" Yes, he would be. I have to put thought into the what would present and future be.
Well, I think let's see. I'm trying to think of who the future one would be, like next year when we go in all in on like Bortles or something.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And then the present is probably just like Cap.
Right.
Because he's not going to have a job next year.
I'm going to just real quick shift to serious talk for a second. Blake Bortles is available in like 44% of ESPN leagues. And he plays the Tennessee Titans next week and week 16. I like that.
Me too. This next one is at totaled B-hole. Okay.
Oh.
What is the correct answer when one is asked whether or not they play video games? Hashtag I'm not 8 years old. See, I play video games, right? Like I play them. And I don't think it's – I think it's fine because it's becoming more and more acceptable, especially with our generation or like older millennials having grown up in that era and they just continue to play. And there's – I think it's absolutely fine. It's a lot easier for me in a nerdy as hell industry to be like, yeah, I play video games because a lot of other people do as well. If you're like a freaking – I don't know, a sales guy at this like insurance company or something, and you're like wearing a suit every day, it's probably a little bit different. But I think it's completely fine. And I think people respect it because you're just telling them the truth.
Yeah. You should be upfront about it for sure, because it took to waffle on that answer to be like, oh, you know, sometimes I play, I don't know. That means that, you know, the other person recognizes you're embarrassed. You think there's something wrong with it, therefore maybe I should think there's something wrong with it. And the whole thing about I'm not 8 years old, that's like a mindset that should have gone by the wayside years and years and years ago. Like, that's, first of all, it's condescending. As a non-video game person, I would never say, I'm not a child, I don't play. I do a lot of things that a child does, okay, on an everyday basis.
Right, he doesn't wear pants, guys.
I haven't worn pants. Yeah, I haven't worn pants since late September. So I'm like my son.
We're gonna have this be the last one. Is at RGT26226. Would CD Carter 13 rather have every pod hosted by Jeff Fisher or drink eggnog on every pod with JJ?
I don't know, man. I'll take if the eggnog has booze in it. I guess I can get through it.
You know what I realized in that question is so often, Denny, you're shat on by Twitter and stealthily by me,
yeah,
for being an awful co-host. But never do people come at me about being a bad co-host.
That's because you are a very solid. You're the leader of the show. You give us direction, and so you can't be bad. If you're bad, this thing goes to hell.
But that's not fair, because without us, the show is nothing.
I know, but I'm just like an animal in a cage, just thrashing around, and you're trying to channel me. Well, Denny, dude, we're like, hey, let's focus, let's do this, let's get through this segment of the show.
The cage. Here's my lovely, lovely caged co-host.
Right, literally in a cage tonight, broadcasting from the suburbs of Maryland. No, I totally get that, and I also open myself up to it because, like I said, I find it exhilarating to be punched directly in the nose.
Yes, very fair, very fair. All right, Denny, that's going to do it for the show. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you?
At CDCarter13 on Twitter. I'll try the Periscope thing, guys. I don't know. I don't know really what I'm doing. I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to do what JJ does so skillfully, and that is to sit there and answer a bunch of questions. I'm not answering the question. I'm sorry, but that's not happening.
Dude, I won't lie to anyone that like tunes into those. I really appreciate it. It makes my brain mush afterwards.
Oh yeah.
Like it is, it's so much to have. Like I'm like just dead after doing those things. Cause it's especially the Sunday ones where I'm like probably hungover and it's just not, it's not good. It's not good. But you can find me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. All my work over at NumberFire.com. By the way, everyone, ChocolatesByPaul.com. Don't forget to get the chocolate. They told me that if you order by December 19th, you can still get it by Christmas. So December 19th is your deadline. ChocolatesByPaul.com. Get some sweet chocolate. Denny, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, how'd you know, man? I didn't even look at. We're looking at each other on the camera. I didn't say anything, and JJ knew I needed to say something. Here's what I had to say. Now that's chemistry right there.
Yeah.
LateRoundQB.com. The shop has all sorts of good stuff for the holidays for the guy in your life who runs like a damn dad.
So. Yes, very, very true. And all those proceeds, as you guys know, go to No Kid Hungry, which I think we've sent maybe like $1,000 to them over the last, last year or so.
Exactly. So it's a good cause. Don't worry. The money's not going to me, so you can rest assured that your money's going to a good place.
Yes, absolutely. All right, guys, we do have a tilt montage for this week, so you'll hear that in a second. Otherwise, good luck in the semifinals, and we will catch you in week 16.
It's 7:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the only legitimate time zone, as many of you are now aware. I'm glad that I could make people at least a little bit woke on that topic, so you're welcome for that. I have been at some sort of football watching party. I don't know really what it was supposed to be, but that's kind of what it turned into. I was alone with the kids, so it was a total apocalypse, and I didn't get to watch much football at all, even though Washington fans were screaming, falling on the floor, apparently overcome by the spirit, with the spirit, however you might say that, and with their win that may or may not be meaningless. So good for those Washington fans. But so I come home, and kids are in bed. I'm literally guzzling red wine at this point. Which I think makes me, one of the housewives of Maryland, Durwood. And I see that Jimmy Graham, who I am heavily exposed to in DFS, he has what they say is 0 fantasy points. Now, I don't really understand what that means. He has no fantasy points in the fourth quarter. Jordan Reed, the former great tight end, had 1 fantasy point. Is that correct? I can't confirm with sources or without sources. I can look at my computer, though, and see that he has 1 fantasy point. He may have retired. Did he perish on the field? I'm worried about him. Seems unbelievable. Also, I'm in a league where you have to start 2 tight ends because this league hates itself. And I started Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, right? So I see that Dwayne Allen look at that, 0 points today. Also 0. Kobe Fleener has 2.1 fantasy points right now. So between them, I have not 3 fantasy points. Dwayne Allen, once again, had 0 fantasy points after having the GOAT outing last Monday night. So it seems to me that everything is not fine and is, in fact, the opposite of fine. It's quite terrible, and I am just going to have to unbutton my pants and get those things off as soon as possible because they need to be screamed at immediately. It's 7:13 p.m. Eastern Time, and it looks like the Jets and 49ers are going into overtime, which that's a big win for atheists everywhere, right? I mean, there can't possibly be a God if the Niners and Jets go into overtime in week 15, week 14, whatever this is. So the simulation has programmed into it a hint of the existence, of the supernatural. And the answer is that the Jets and 49ers are going into overtime and that we're going to watch it because we are sick. We're quite, quite sick.
just want to say, you may notice that I'm not tilting, and that's because that my season long teams have gone one of two ways. The garbage bin, where they were subsequently set on fire and then pissed upon by an elephant, or they're very, very good and they have bye weeks this week. So all of my season-long teams that made the playoffs and that were not, you know, soaked in elephant urine to this point, they have bye weeks. So I'm not tilting over anything going on in these games. I mean, I'm tilting a little because I played a little more DFS than usual this week. You know, thank the tiny baby Jesus in his manger, awaiting his gifts from the wise people. We'll call them wise people because, you know, we don't know what they identified as men. We're not sure. So, you know, thank that form of Jesus that I have Le'Veon Bell and the Atlanta defense on a lot of places on FanDuel. Because the rest of my lineup is absolute garbage. So thank you, Atlanta defense, and Le'Veon Bell, the actual goat, for saving my skin. It's 7:25 p.m. Eastern time, the only legitimate time zone, and I'm just picking up on a thread that my pal, you may know him, JJ, he's just tweeted about what a nuclear apocalypse the quarterback position is this week. This is truly unbelievable and has probably led to the sort of tilt that, you know, kills a generation of people. I mean, you know, GDP may go down after this week because of the tilt that fantasy footballers have had to deal with. So we have Carson Wentz as a top 12 quarterback with 12 fantasy points. Colin Kaepernick is on the cusp of QB1 territory with 11 fantasy points. Bryce Petty. He is an NFL quarterback. He plays for a team that used to be called the Jets. He has 11 fantasy points as well, right on the cusp of wide receiver, quarterback one territory. Trevor Siemian is quarterback three today with 17 fantasy points. What is happening here? I mean, this is, and look at Cam Newton also has 11 fantasy points. So even though the Panthers scored 28 points, he ended up with 11 points. So, I don't even know why we have to review this nonsense about, you know, take quarterbacks late, they're all replaceable, blah, blah, blah. I think it's just because Peyton Manning had a crazy year a couple years ago. Two, 3 years ago, I guess. I mean, that's it, right? That's the reason we still have to talk about it. But maybe that's a good thing, because it's either that or food takes. And I know all of you don't come for the food takes.
Thank you for listening to Living the Stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info, check out makegroundqb.com. Hope you come back soon, as we share about the team.